News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Another day and another major protest, a very disturbing protest on the north side of Dublin yesterday at a site earmarked for asylum seekers. Gardaí have charged, have brought at least 15 people following wide-ranging disorder at a site in Coolock, due to be developed as a house asylum seekers, to the court with a view to them being charged. Demonstrators hurled rocks, fired fireworks at Gardaí during the day. Pepper spray has been used by Gardaí responding to the incidents. Our reporter Henry McKean was speaking to some of those protesting.
Why do you think Coolock is so cross this evening?
I would just like to say I don't like all these unvetted people coming into Ireland.
I'm very frustrated. A lot of people are labelling people as racist, and that's just not the case. Like, we're concerned parents. The facilities and the amenities in this area are stretched beyond belief. Like, our hospital waiting lists, doctors, like, you can't even get an appointment with a dentist.
So you're concerned?
Yeah, you don't see an awful lot of these people coming into, like, affluent areas. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, the guards, like, there's not a guard to be got when you need them. I was at a domestic violence disturbance for my neighbour during the week. 5 hours it took them to come, and now look how many there is.
There are hundreds of guards here.
It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
So there's been barbecues, there's been peaceful protests here.
Yeah, a lot of women and families and just a community coming together, because a lot of these people are undocumented men. If it was women and children coming in, they'd be welcomed into this community like everybody is.
But no one's perfect. I mean, amongst us right now, there might be the odd person that's stolen
a loaf of bread.
Well,
absolutely. I mean, there's always a minority of bad people in every community. But the problem is, why are these young men coming into the community? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
The people of Coolock right now, the ones I've met, they're very angry, they're very cross. How do we bring down the temperature and keep this peaceful?
I think the government needs to act at this point. I mean, there's all these bills being passed that should have really been voted on by the Irish people. At the end of the day, it's their taxpayers' money that pays for this, do you know? So I think that the government needs to step up now at this point. I mean, the people have spoken. They can see this isn't the only place that this has happened in. It's happened all over the country. And it's not been highlighted in mainstream media. I know that you're here, but I mean, we've been labelled as violent. I mean, I'm standing here now. I don't see any violence.
Well, it's just that I think it is disgraceful that they're putting them in buildings like that, the Crown Factory, and putting migrants in there. But there's no women and children. They're all men.
Do you know that for sure?
Well, most of that are hanging around are all men.
So we've got hundreds of people here.
Yeah.
They've closed the road. There is a protest. We have a right to protest.
Yeah.
How will this end? And how could we solve this?
I don't know how it's going to end. The only thing is, people that are living in the community that are putting them in here, the migrants in here, they're not going to sit around and just let them walk around, because everybody knows they're not vetted. There's nothing. They have no idea.
But remember, I mean, amongst the community, there might be the odd person that perhaps did a bit of shoplifting at one point.
Of course. Look, everybody tries that sometime, done shoplifting or whatever. But it's just that these are just coming in and just walking among us. No attempt of integrating or anything like that. Just feel as if they're just coming over here now.
Yeah, well, difficult to integrate, I suppose, when you violent protests like that. I find some of those comments staggering. I don't see any violence here. I mean, there was blatant thuggery.
They destroyed three police cars. They set one on fire. They've hospitalised
a security guard. Thrown bricks. There's photographs on the front of the paper today of young men in balaclavas firing stones. Like, people talk about being afraid in their communities. They're the guys I'd be afraid of.
I know. But it was actually a really interesting report from Henry there, because some of the things that were being said, and it just shows that there is a huge job of work to be done to bring communities with the government on this at all. And I do think, I mean, just let me say for a start that what we saw yesterday was thuggery, and it was violent, and it wasn't protest as I would certainly recognise it. It was lawlessness.
Yeah.
It was all of that. But having said that, I do think that the government sort of lost the room. I don't know if it was 12 months ago, 6 months ago, 18 months ago at some point. I think largely because people, not the far right, not the racists, not those people who do exist as well, But the more moderate people started to become uneasy about migration and about what they were hearing. And the government, I don't know if it was through complacency or through hubris or through just believing that we were endlessly liberal and endlessly needed to virtue signal and everything, that the government, I don't think, did bring people with this. If you look at polls, Shane, it's up to about 3/4 of the electorate are concerned about migration. Yeah. And the government did drop the ball in terms of controlling the narrative,
when you
I think,
bringing people with them. Like, what does that actually mean? Like, it's very hard to counter if you heard everybody interviewed
people
there.
People are afraid that we have open borders, that people are unvetted. This is what people are afraid of. Well, they are unvetted to some extent because you come
unvetted.
You
it's
come in and sometimes don't have documents,
Irish immigrants who went to America
No, I know. We call ourselves the undocumented in America. So with great delight in it.
I'm not sure how you counter those myths. I think it's easier said than done, I have to say.
A narrative has taken hold that our system on migration was loose and it was soft. And that is what is being used to drive all of this. So people are incited and people are frightened. Well, this is whether it's accurate or not is perception is everything.
Yeah,
and
tackling that is difficult.
We're so busy trying to look right on a lot of the time that they didn't actually start to realise that the ground was shifting. And Mary Lou McDonald, in fairness to her, said it about 3 days ago. She said, we didn't recognise where the electorate was at on migration. And that's true.
Sorry,
and that's
isn't the job of a government to follow voters or to lead voters? I think the latter.
To represent voters, I would say.
I think to lead. And this is a tricky issue. And I don't think there's any simple solutions to it. Look, let's bring in Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD here. Paul Murphy, your reaction to what happened yesterday in Coolock?
It's really horrendous to see violence, to see arson attacks, to see worker hospitalised, people and other workers intimidated. I saw a video of construction workers sitting in the back of a van really fearing what was going to happen.
I should say one of the people on that Vox spoke about men hanging around. They were people working there trying to build and make that centre accessible for asylum seekers. They weren't actually asylum seekers themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw a few videos yesterday where people seem to think that there were asylum seekers attempting to get in, but that definitely is not the case. The centre is not open for asylum seekers, as far as I've seen in the media, isn't due to be open for asylum seekers for quite a period of time. As I also understand, purely from the media, it is not going to be only men, but certainly the media reports have said it will also be single women and I think families as well. But look, what we have here, and I think what's missing a little bit from the conversation so far, is this is a far-right instigated riot, the third in the last 8 months. We had the riot in Dublin City Centre, we had Newtown Mount Kennedy in April, and now we have Coolock. I mean, all the key far-right agitators were on the ground yesterday. Four of the newly elected far-right councillors were on the ground. These are the people who are spreading these lies that the men are unvetted, that they in some way represent a danger to people. Obviously quite successfully in terms of spreading those lies, but they know exactly what they're doing. And all they offer is violence, fear, lies. They just want to tear communities down. So I think, like, obviously the main responsibility lies with those who did it and those who instigated. That's clear. But we need to have a wider conversation about how have we come to this point where they're able to be so effective.
Well, is it because we live in a benign democracy and that the state does not deter people from protesting, however objectionable that protest is? And even if that protest ultimately does lead to violence, which we saw yesterday, like how do you stop that?
Yeah, well, I think there isn't a point about we shouldn't be stopping people protesting. People have a right to protest. You know, that's very, very important to defend. But what we have seen over the past couple of years, when we've had now over 30 arson attacks over the last 5 years, this one was in broad daylight at asylum centres. We have had quite consciously from the top of the guards, supported by the government, what was described as a hands-off approach to the far right, which didn't just involve facilitating the right of people to protest, which I think is important to defend, but facilitated them.
Now, there wasn't too much of a hands-off approach yesterday. I mean, the guards were fairly robust in their policing, were they not?
But there was up until this point. So there's been a camp of anti-migrant protesters outside this location at Crown Paints for the last number of months. And, I mean, people have the right to set up a protest camp, no question about it. But people have been repeatedly racially harassed there. There's lots of videos on the internet of that. Nothing seems to have been done in terms of that.
That's a tricky one, though, Paul, isn't it? Like, if you start taking a heavy-handed approach there...
To be clear, I'm not advocating a heavy-handed approach, but I'll give you another example. I mean, it was as clear as day. So what kicked this off was that the guards came in yesterday morning, removed the protest camp in preparation then for bringing in beds and presumably more work starting on the site. It was obvious. I saw a tweet from the editor of the Dublin Inquirer at the time saying, it's obvious what's going to happen next. Is there going to be an arson attack? Will the guards be present? It was absolutely clear. And at that stage, there was very, very little Gardaí. I heard, again, a video of security guards saying, we have to call the guards, we have to call the guards. It was clear they were going to be subject to attack, which they were. There was going to be arson attacks, which they were. So again and again and again, the state has just closed its eyes to what is happening here. In the past, they facilitated protesters or anti-migrant activists boarding buses counting asylum seekers. They've escorted anti-LGBT
again, to come back
libraries.
To the point though, Paul, it's because we don't live in a police state, and the Gardaí have tended to police that way over the years, a kind of a more of a softly approach. Like, there are dangers about changing that approach as well, are there not?
I'm not calling for an end to a softly approach to protests. People have the right to engage in protests. People do not have the right to burn down buildings. People do not have the right to obstruct workers going into work. People don't have the right to racially harass and abuse migrants. They don't have those rights. And I think, you know, supposedly from Drew Harris, there was this very clever plan where we weren't going to do anything about this campaign of far-right terror because that was only playing into their hands. And look at what has actually happened. Just to say, though, secondly, I mean, I don't think the answer here is fundamentally a policing approach. I think there is a failure of the state. But I think there are other issues in terms of, one, we need to have a civil society-led, ordinary people from the bottom, the left coming together, counter this campaign of misinformation. I mean, you hear on the Vox Pop is interesting. So you have real grievances of people about the absence of services, about the neglect of communities like Coolock, about the health services, I'm sure, about the housing crisis. But those real grievances are being, you know, weaponized and turned against people who are not responsible, who don't add to them. And I think we need a campaign to actually explain to people what is the asylum process, to explain how people are vetted.
Good luck
but
with
ultimately,
that. I think that's necessary. I'm not sure that campaign will, I think it'll fall on deaf ears. Lars, can I just ask you, just finally, you mentioned a number of newly elected councillors who were at the protest yesterday. Is there a censure for them? Can local authorities, fellow councillors, take action against them? Should they take action against them?
There is some sort of, I saw online, there's ethics that councillors are meant to uphold. And by going down there and saying that these are illegal men,
plantations,
these are,
I heard,
you know,
the
exactly,
word being
spreading
used.
All this, you know, because these people, this, the things that the people were saying in the Vox Pop that were wrong, they're not coming from nowhere. That they're being spread by these bad actors, some of whom are now.
So is there a censure, or should they be censured?
There is some sort of process. I encourage people to check out the ethics guidelines. People can go and make a complaint. Obviously, I think, you know, ultimately people have gotten elected. They're there. They're present. They're there for the next 5 years. But I think people need to know that these people are not doing good for their communities and are very, very consciously spreading lies and hate and trying to divide people for their own benefit.
Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD, thank you for talking to News.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.